Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. Now, we're learning a lot about grace all this year. And it's well known as God's amazing grace. It's not just grace, it is amazing. A memory verse says it straight and simple. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So obviously, grace is better. But does that mean that the law is bad? It really doesn't. This morning, I want to focus our attention on because we're going to study the Ten Commandments over the next several weeks. But I want us to focus on who wrote them and why they're good. You see, the reason why the Ten Commandments are good is because God wrote them. You may not like them, but that doesn't say whether they're good or bad. God, who wrote them, is good. And so, since He wrote the commandments, they've got to be good. So I want to show you some things about grace and about the law. See, everyone on this planet desires and wants and will gladly accept a God of love. They'll accept a God of tolerance, a God of grace, and a God of forgiveness. Who would disagree with a God like that? Who would reject a God like that? But almost no one wants to worship and honor and obey and fear the God of the law. Did you know the only God of love that there is, the only God of grace that exists, the only truly forgiving God is the same God that gave us the law? So you cannot seek a God of grace and divorce Him from Him being also the God of law. He's the same God. You cannot seek a God of forgiveness and a God of love without understanding He is also the God of law. So before we can study and learn the Ten Commandments, learn to obey them, we need to know the God of the Ten Commandments, the author. You probably have read many books in your lifetime. And the Bible is a book. But it would be a shame to only read the book without getting to know the author of the book. It'd be a shame to teach our children, and we should, the Ten Commandments, and forget to introduce them to the God who wrote the Ten Commandments. So this morning I want to talk about the God who wrote these Ten Commandments. I believe it will change your mind. It's not there for some reason. I believe it will change your mind about this new phase and fad that everybody has today that wants to make new laws constantly and decide to get back to living by the perfect laws of God and getting our society to do the same too. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I ask that You would bless the study of Your Word. Help me to say what You would say if You were here. Help us to realize if Moses was standing before us right now, the world would laugh at him, mock him, walk away from him, reject his very words. But he didn't say his own opinion. He just declared Your words. God, if David were here, began to open this Bible and began to weep as he read the laws, weep out of love for the amazing perfection of them, people would look and say, why would he so love and honor the laws? If Jesus were standing right here, Father, people would want Jesus to go and heal, to do miracles. But when Jesus would speak about the law, today, people would reject Him. God, we need to understand the God of the laws so that we can understand the God of all grace. He helps us, Lord, to see You as You are, not as we want You to be. So open our eyes, please. Change our minds and ultimately change our lives by the preaching of your word. Let every person in this room realize the laws are in force. The laws will catch us. They are right, and they will judge us one day. That's why we need Jesus. That's why Jesus Christ and our relationship with your Son is the most important relationship we could ever have. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. Everybody wanted to have someone in their life. But Jesus ought to be that someone. Because He so loved us. May we learn to so love and appreciate Him as the one who made grace possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how do I start this thing? How do we start talking about the God of the Ten Commandments? I have struggled for weeks. It is easy to preach on thou shalt not kill. That's easy. I mean, that's a great commandment. And I mean, you could preach all day. It's wrong to kill. It's wrong to steal. But move the dial back and go to where it began. It began with the God who gave those laws. How do you try to direct people's attention to the author? Well, first of all, let me start off by saying that our Bible is filled with all kinds of laws. They're amazing. Not just the Ten Commandments. When you think of the laws of God, you've got to understand, did you know in the Bible, the laws of physics are described? Did you know, the Bible already described that things are not going to get better and better, they're going to wear out, they're going to get worse and worse. The Bible is filled not only with the law, with the Ten Commandments, but also the laws of a perfect morality, the absolute rights and wrongs. The Bible is filled with the laws of government and justice, being filled with dietary laws. You want to live longer? Read your Bible. You know, there are all these new laws. I mean, these all new diets that come out every couple of months. A new diet comes out, you know. There's a new group starting out on weight loss and management and all this stuff. God had it already in a book 3,000 years old. The laws of worship, the Bible has all the above. And they're all good, by the way. Not one of them is wasted or stupid. You say, that's a stupid law. Are you sure? I have found in my Christian life, being saved 34 years, I found what I used to think was stupid all of a sudden turns out pretty smart. As a matter of fact, you do well to know and learn every law in the Bible and live by it. Those who are ignorant of God's laws, those who are ignorant of God's rules, or they reject God's laws, are doomed to a life of trouble and heartache and sorrow and regret, guaranteed. You say, oh, I'm not living by God's laws, and I'm doing fine for the moment. It's like an idiot on the road, driving at twice the speed limit. Nobody's caught me yet. I haven't lost control yet. It'll come. Don't be a fool. You reject God's laws and live ignorant of God's laws and out of God's laws, you're going to have enough regrets in your life to make an obituary. Now, all of God's laws are good. Go to Romans. I had a verse here I wanted you to read, and then we'll get to it. Forgive me for not reading it. Exodus 24 and verse 12. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12. The Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount, speaking of Mount Sinai, be there. And I will give thee, and he said, describes it, he says, I'll give you tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. Now, go to Romans chapter 15. We will come back to that, and I'll make a statement about that in a few minutes. But Romans chapter 15 says, that's all the Old Testament. Is that better? That's old stuff. Really? That means it's no good at all, huh? Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Next time you're reading in the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, I don't care if you're reading in Ezekiel, look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, in the past. That means Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Ezekiel. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our what? They're not made to be ignored and never looked at. They're written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of those scriptures, we might have hope. You know, laws of God are good to learn and live by. Let me jump ahead here. Some of you know there are problems with the law. The problem with the law is not the law in itself, it's the fact that people try to get to heaven by the law. They try to earn forgiveness or earn praise from God by the law. You can't do that. We're not talking about how the law can save anybody. We're talking about how the law can protect people. How the law can create a safe society, and how a law can help us to know what is right or wrong. Because without right or wrong, you have anarchy. You have a disaster. God's laws are good. But I got a question for you. Who's behind all these laws? Who wrote all these laws? We read it. It says, I will give you. I want to talk about who is behind. Did you know laws describe how things work? Laws don't make things work. How many of you ever been on an airplane? Right? You pray when you're getting on the airplane, don't you? Especially if it's Malaysia Airlines. Right? Laws of physics explain how a jet engine works. Laws didn't build it. Laws don't build things. Somebody had to build the thing. Somebody had to put fuel in it, start it up, fly the thing. The jet couldn't have been created without the laws of physics. But somebody needed to design that thing and build it and then fly it. Somebody was a genius. Figured out how to make a jet engine. Amen? I mean, props are great, you know. You get that propeller and the fastest they can fly is like 500 miles an hour. These things can go 2,000 miles an hour in the fastest jets that exist. So somebody's a genius, not by accident, but by design. So laws only describe how things work. They don't make things work. By the way, the laws of the universe never designed or built the universe. You need a designer. You need a creator to have a universe. Just because some scientist describes and defines and discovers the law of gravity, just because somebody describes and defines and discovers the law of the constants of the speed of light, does not mean they figured out how the universe was created. Laws don't create things. Laws just tell you that how things work. Scientific law is only proof that an intelligent, divine, creative force is at work in our universe. You know, think about it. The more someone understands science, the more they will believe that there is a God because of the breadth, the complexity, and the integrity of everything. A guy named Stephen Hawking, like so many critics of religion, want everyone to believe that we are all nothing but random, but a random collection of molecules, and we are the end product of a mindless process of evolution. And I say no. Someone built everything. And I think he did it pretty well. And what God used to make everything and what he still uses to keep everything going are his laws. And that's very important. So next time you see Stephen Hawking being honored and praised and worshipped, and they do worship him, just sit back and go, I know someone smarter. Amen. Now let me get to where we started. Back in Exodus chapter 24, if you go back there, I want to talk about the Ten Commandments and that God of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 24, in verse 12. First thing I want you to understand about the Ten Commandments is God gave us His laws. Exodus 24 and verse 12. We read it, let's read it again. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there. I like that. You know, when the Lord invites you to church, He says, come and stay a while. I think we have a pretty good church. I like it when preaching is finished, people sort of just hang around. I like a church where, now I hate this thing right behind me because I know everybody's looking at it instead of me. And maybe that's why everybody's not looking at their watch while I'm preaching. But I'm looking around saying, is anybody looking at their watch? Maybe because they're looking at that thing. I don't know. I don't know. One of these days I ought to go and reset the clock so everybody thinks, wow, pastor's short today, and just slow it down, you know. But I think we have a great church because I think those of us who want to come here want to stay. God said, at least one, God said to Moses, come up to the mountain and just be there. Don't just rush up and say, I got to go. The people need me. No, your children may need a lot of things. Your boss, your job may need a lot of things. Your dinner is burning. Your car needs petrol. The wind is leaking. All those needs pale in comparison to God just needing you to be here for a little while. God said, come up and be here. And I will, the next word is, I will give thee, and he describes them as tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. God gave us his laws. You couldn't figure these out on your own. No one has ever figured a better set of laws than what you're looking at in that Bible. See, they're a gift from God. I believe it's not a bad thing to have laws and rules and commandments to live by. They're a great help from God for sinful men and women. Laws are good. Thank God we don't have to go through thousands and millions of years trying to find out what laws are good and right and what laws are wrong by trial and error. The famous anti-God man, Richard Dawkins, believes that all laws are man-made and they should change as we adapt. He publicly believes that mankind one day will allow for a family to have several mommies married to several husbands who are also married to several other women. And we still call it a family. That's what he believes. Atheists will blatantly tell you that it's okay to steal. It's okay to lie as long as no one gets hurt. You ever heard that? No one got hurt. Atheists will tell you it's okay to commit adultery as long as it is consensual. Well, you know, my wife didn't mind. What? Did you drug her? People in general believe that all laws should be basically to allow someone to be happy. That is the general thing that is driving the dog. That is the general thing that is driving governments is we've got to keep everybody happy. People in general believe that all laws should be basically to allow someone to be happy. But if anything stops a person from being happy, that's a bad law. So make sure all laws against sodomy are repealed. Because how can we deny them their happiness? I know how. Because God says it's wrong. Amen. Make sure all laws against incest are repealed. Don't even sit there and think it's not coming. Because what one group, when you start to change and redefine love and you redefine family, you will not stop until you are with animals. Well, somebody wants to have some fun. It's wrong. It's not a matter of their happiness. Nobody gets hurt. You have no idea what same-sex marriage is going to destroy in Ireland. Do not tell me it does not hurt a child to not have a mom and dad. I already hate divorce. God already hates divorce. He says it. He says a child needs a mom and a dad. All of these single moms and single dads, I know that there are problems. I know they're extenuating circumstances, and thank God for grace. But there's a law that we have thrown away and said we don't need to keep things together. We can start all over. You don't realize all we're doing is reaping a whirlwind because of our inability to accept the fact that God made the rules and we ought to keep them. They're a gift from God. We need laws. So what have we got today? We've almost got no laws against pornography. How dare they bring in a movie called Fifty Shades of Grey? I'm glad to see that there are some unsaved people standing up and they're saying, it's abuse. Now, what's a shame is a lot of Christians are going to watch that film. Amen. Well, it's on. Hey, it's a new movie. It's wrong. You know, I remember watching my kids grow up. Every one of the children, all the TV shows, all of the new movies came out. Did you see this? Did you see that? And my kids going, we haven't seen it. And it was like torture for them not to be able to watch something that everybody else. And they grow up ignorant of some of the stupid things that modern children learn at 14 years old. You know, there's some good things to just say. You know, the Lord said, God said, stay away. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Stay away from it. God gave us a gift in His laws. It's funny how people are so determined to try and live without God's laws. And yet, have you noticed that in the end, those same people come around to discover God was right to begin with. As with dating. Remember when you were dating and you snuck out of the house? Remember when you were dating and you took your first kiss? Remember how it was when you were dating? You lived by your own rules. You didn't do what your parents thought. And then one day somebody came calling for your daughter and you said, excuse me, be back here at 10 o'clock or I'm finding you. Amen. You see, we live by our own laws until all of a sudden we watch our daughter going out the door and we says, I better go follow him. Amen. See, we're so arrogant that we can't accept, you know, the laws are right. How about driving? You know, you start driving your car and no guard around. No laws, no control. Pull back on your park and brake and you start drifting. Oh, this is great. Until somebody cuts you off. Cuts in front of you and drives you over to the side and median over there. And you say, where's the guard when you need him? See, we want to live by laws, and yet we want to live in a world that's governed by laws. I mean, we want to live without laws, but we want to live in a world that's governed by laws. You can't have both. God gave us His laws not to save us. He gave us His laws not to forgive us, not even to change us. Laws don't make better people. Follow me. God gave us His laws to show us what He expects of people. We need laws. You know, if you want to play soccer, guess what? You got to play by the rules. Amen? You want to play rugby? You got to play by the rules. I'm not saying that playing rugby is for dummies. But anyway. I like that one. If you want to play the stock market, you've got to buy and sell by the rules or else you go to prison, hopefully. Amen? If you want to drive, you got to drive according to laws. Amen? How could anyone do any of these things without rule books, without laws? Amen? Why would we think that marriage, that child training, that Christianity itself doesn't need rules? Why would we think, well, Pastor, why do you have rules? I don't have rules. God does. Amen? Why would we think that, well, we love each other. Yeah, but there are boundaries. That's called a covenant relationship. Marriage is not just getting together. That's what the 1960s tried to create, was this free love society. It didn't work, by the way. Marriage has boundaries, rules, laws, limits. Thank God. How can you have a marriage without expectations of what the other person is going to do and not going to do? Amen. You say, expectations, they're terrible. No, they're safe. All great societies and governments exist only by good laws, not by the freedom to do as you please. Go back, you're in Exodus, go to the right, find Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 8, what nation is there so great? Egypt was a great nation. Babylon was an up-and-coming great nation. China was a great nation at that time. And yet God says, what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? All great societies and governments exist only by laws, not by the freedom to do as you please. By the way, verse 7 tells you where we got the laws. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? By the way, I'm not promoting and trying to say that our government should just only have a Bible as its constitution. You can't have a book without the author of that book governing this nation. That's why Jesus came along and said, you must be born again. The rules don't make better people. Only Jesus can make better people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't misunderstand. You go, well, he's saying we have to live by the law. Yeah, we need laws. I want you to understand, if we're ever going to understand grace, we're not trying to demote laws and trying to throw away the Ten Commandments and say they're not good anymore. They are very good. The best thing this world could ever have next to Jesus Christ is laws and commandments. Thank God He gave us an instruction book. God gave us an instruction book on how to raise our children. I remember people telling me, I got this kid and I didn't get any manual with him. Right there. You know, God gave us an instruction book on how to treat each other. God gave us the instruction book on how to get money. You know how to get money? Work for it. What? God said, work for it. Hard work. Thank God for an instruction book on the right way of worship. You know, you come to church, aren't you glad? It's not just do as you please, or else people be swinging from the chandeliers, barking, frothing at the mouth. I don't want to go as far. People have gone. Thank God He gave us an instruction book. Now, as we said, go to Exodus chapter 20. I want to say that God actually wrote the laws. God actually wrote this book. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. See, the culture today has so beat up Christians into thinking that, you know, that Bible is outdated. Those laws, they're embarrassing. Don't you dare be embarrassed of what those same people who laugh today in 30 years will go and make laws themselves just like the Bible. It's funny. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1, and God, watch it, spake all these words, saying, and then guess what chapter we're in? We're in the chapter of the Ten Commandments. Verse 3 is the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4 is the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Don't make an image like a fish. And verse 5 says, don't bow down to it. Not wrong having an image of a fish. If you want to have an aquarium on your computer desktop, go right ahead. Don't bow down to it. I've had plenty of people who have pictures of grandma and grandpa on their wall. Nothing wrong with that. But if every time you pass by that picture, you crossed yourself and you genuflected to it, you're wrong. It's not wrong to have a statue of Beethoven over your piano. But if every time you sat down and you said a little prayer to Beethoven, that idol has to go now. You understand what I'm saying? He goes on. Verse 5 says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Don't do anything for them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. People who are idolaters actually hate God. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. He goes on with the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Run down to verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And the last commandment is, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Don't covet. Ten commandments. You know who wrote those laws? God. Moses was only a postman. That's all. He was not the author. I'm glad God didn't leave the laws up to Moses. Because Moses got upset one day enough at somebody, he killed him. I'm glad God didn't leave the law up to a king. You know that David did one day? He committed adultery, and then he had a man, the woman's husband, murdered, and then he lied about it. I wonder what kind of laws he would write. Adultery is okay under certain circumstances. I'm glad God didn't leave the law up to a priest or to a pope. I'm glad he didn't leave it for a church to describe or define. I'm glad he didn't put up to a vote. And he didn't leave it in the hands of an army to decide what is right or wrong. No sinful man or woman has the right or ability to decide what is right or wrong. God did it. You know what helped my children when they were growing up? They may not remember it, but sometimes somebody would say, why, Dad? Why can't we do this? I says, because God said it. You know what that does? Puts the pressure off me. Amen. Amen. Honestly. I might have written a different law, but God wrote the law, amen? God wrote it. He did it himself, alone. God wrote all these laws, these commandments, himself. By the way, look at Exodus 31. Exodus chapter 31. In verse 18. Exodus 31, verse 18, and he gave unto Moses, God gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him, upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, two tables of commandments, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Now, I want you to remember this, please. In a few months, we're going to look at a woman who was trapped in the bondage of a life that required or kept her in a state of harlotry and of adultery. And a man had taken advantage of her, and that man was used to lure her into an adulterous situation where these people could come in, the Pharisees come and grab her, leaving the man, grab her and throw her at the feet of Jesus. And when they threw her at the feet of Jesus, they said, she's an adulteress. Shouldn't she die? The very law says she should die. And what did Jesus do? He went down to the ground and he wrote. We're going to learn what he wrote. See, God wrote with his own finger a law that said she should die. Jesus wrote something else now that could make up for it. I believe Jesus wrote, I'm going to tell you what he said. I believe Jesus said, I'll take her place. Amen. 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 That Bible is the most amazing book ever written. Somebody said, what's he doing writing on the sand? Is he doodling? No. He's writing something so that when those people see Jesus and they look at what he's writing there, they don't understand it, they drop their stones, they walk away. Absolutely breathtaking. But you wouldn't understand it until you knew the severity of the law that said that she should die. So anyway, God wrote them with his own fingers. Look at chapter 32 and verse 15. 32 and verse 15. Moses turned and went down from the mount, and he's got the two iPads in his hand. And the two tablets of the testimony were in his hands. The tables were written on both their sides, and on the one side and on the other they were written. And the tables were the work of who? And the writing was the writing of God graven upon tables of stone. Now, let me say something here. Most of God's laws are still in place with some exceptions. Some of God's laws were specific to certain people at certain times. Those are called dispensations. Some of them were temporary laws. Some laws were changed when Jesus died on the cross. Thank God. Amen. But did you know most of the laws in your Bible are still in place? Most of them are still to be obeyed. Don't throw them away because they're unpopular. Why are they still in place? Because God wrote them. What did He write them on? Stone. So that they didn't change. God is telling us these don't change. Never forget that. No man changes God's laws. Do you know what Adolf Hitler tried to do? Some people tried to tell me, I've read some awful, awful things about Christianity, and one of them, the attack, is that Adolf was a Christian. You know what Adolf did in 1943, I believe it was? Actually, earlier than that, but in 1943, he finished a project where he rewrote the Bible. Now, he hired some people to do it. Government programs always are strained. And he had them rewrite the Bible, and they rewrote all the commandments. He got rid of the Jewishness of the Bible. And then he had like 100,000 of them printed and distributed to all the churches all over Germany. Thank God most of the churches burned those books because they were not the Bible. But you know what Adolf Hitler said he could do? He said, if we're going to bring in a new kingdom and a new Reich, we're going to have new rules and new laws, so I'm going to rewrite the laws. Guess what? He's dead. Amen. God's laws will stand. Man cannot come along and say, well, what your grandparents thought was wrong is okay now. If your grandparents were to resurrect today, they'd slap you. And I'd hold you. Amen. Folks, listen to me for a minute. No man can change God's laws. They are eternal. It doesn't matter if governments decide to overrule God and make up their own laws. God's law stands. Why? It was written in stone. So if something was wrong in the beginning, like having multiple wives, guess what? It's still wrong. So, by the way, who can serve two masters, by the way? Dan almost said amen. If sodomy was wrong in the beginning, it still is and always will be wrong. If adultery, incest, thievery, lust, sorcery was wrong in olden times, they're still wrong today. Why? Because God actually wrote these laws. Now go back to Exodus chapter 20. Back there in verse 2 now. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 2. You know what? How many churches would you go to and they would start teaching on the Ten Commandments like this? Huh? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 2. And I don't take it lightly. But 3/4 of your Bible is Old Testament for a reason. There's some stuff for our learning here. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 2. God is the God of laws. Look at chapter 20 and verse 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, I don't know if you noticed there, but God there just says, by the way, I wrote the laws. And I'm ahead of myself. And evidently, He's against slavery. Would you agree with that? Well, the Bible's full of slavery because people love slavery. They don't love to be put in slavery, but they love to put people in slavery. By the way, think of the Irish economy for the last 10 years. Think of Greece, the slavery and the bondage of the common people. There's slavery going on today. They traffic people all the time. They traffic girls all the time. ISIS is collecting girls for sex all the time. There is slavery still today. But tell me that slavery is an old-fashioned thing. It's still going on today. God is the God of laws. He's not the God of chance or accidents or luck or fate. He is the God of laws. Yes, God has feelings. God compassion, but He is the God of rules and laws. If your father has rules for you, hug him. My dad's never been nice to me. He's kept you alive. Amen. You know, some of the old generation never showed their love, but they loved. Sometimes we get the idea that everything has to be all ooey-gooey for us to have love. You know, some people, your mom and dad stayed together, and that's a whole lot better than the kind of love that's out there today. Amen. Because with all the ooey-gooey stuff, they're falling apart at the seams. God is a God of laws. The Bible says, hey, you know what? The Bible says that God created everything. But he didn't just create things. He created the laws that keep everything going. Every corner of this universe exists because God's laws exist. Without well-designed laws, the universe will fly apart. God designed gravity. I'll never forget, I was in the astronomy club in Texas when I was 14 years old. So Friday nights, we'd go down to the university and we'd sit there and there'd be a talk about some aspect of the planets or the stars, not astrology, but astronomy. And I'd sit there and I'd be in awe of this great professor. I was actually worshiping a guy named Carl Sagan. I now call him Carl Pagan. But anyway, I read everything. I watched everything on television. I still have a book, Cosmos, by Carl Sagan. And this guy, this professor of astrophysics at Texas A&M University, where I was. I wasn't at the university, but I was in the class. Was saying stuff all about the stars. And one day he said the most remarkable statement. He says, looking at the math, he says, look at the, and he quoted the inverse square law of motion and gravity and stuff. He says, look at all this stuff. It looks like somebody designed it. And you could hear everybody go, and I, for the first time in my life, my heart skipped a beat and somebody asked God this question. And he said, yes. And the person says, so you believe there's a God? And he went, no. Just looks like it. That was when I was 14 years old. It took me till I was 17 before I got born again. But you realize even the unsaved have to admit, all the laws are pretty amazing. And as you read there, evidently God is against slavery. He says, I delivered you from the slavery that's in Egypt. You know, God said it was wrong. And the Egyptians didn't decide it. The Egyptians didn't make a law saying, you know, we're going to make a law that it's against the law to have slaves. They didn't do that. God had to deliver them. God made the law. There are, even God himself is subject to his own laws. Did you know what Malachi chapter 3 says? I, the Lord, change not. You know what that means? I can trust him. As he was, he always will be. He is the faithful God, Deuteronomy chapter 5 says. He's constant. So I can trust him. He even subjects himself to his own laws. I like that. I'm glad tomorrow I'm going to wake up and God's not going to change the rules. Amen? Can you imagine getting married? And on your wedding night, you're sitting there and you're holding hands, you're having dinner together, and she's beautiful, and he's gorgeous. And you both head up, and you go to a hotel or wherever you're going there, and she pops into the bathroom there, and the guy sits down and starts taking off his shoes, and out pops somebody else. She takes off her hair, pops out a glass eye, takes off the top bridge of her mouth. You know? And he looks at her and she says, well, that's who I am. And he reaches in and relieves the valve and all the muscles go. And they find out they didn't marry who they thought they married. Amen? Hey, you find that out anyway, by the way. Anyway, we won't go there. But here's the point. Here's the point. We're trying to worship God. He doesn't change. Amen? He doesn't change. You go through from one page of the Bible to the very end, he's the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So when somebody asks you about God's laws, what are they? They are more than just rules. Listen to me. They're more than just do's and don'ts. Rules control our actions. I can make a rule. Let's see. Rachel, come up here real quick. Come up here. Rachel, make it a rule. You have to walk backwards 10 feet. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, I just controlled his actions, didn't I? Okay, thank you. You can sit down. What was that? Laws control our actions. Rules control what we can and cannot do. But that's just do's and don'ts. Let me find my place here because my point is really important here. Rules control our actions. But God's laws go beyond just walk this way or go this way. God's laws actually govern our attitudes, our eyes, what we think when we see things with our eyes. God's laws go deeper than just don't do this and don't do that. God's laws are His absolute conclusions about what is right to do and what is wrong to do. They are the perfect revelation of how things should happen in a thriving, safe, secure society. Wouldn't you like to be able to leave your keys in your door like you used to be able to 20 years ago? I remember when I came to Ireland 21 years ago. I don't know, Nita, you might have seen it, but most of the time as I go along and I come up to a door and I get ready to knock, there are keys sitting in the door lock. I'm like, man, New Jersey would love you. Because people in New Jersey, if your key was left in your door, it was, you were robbed, man. And house after house after house. And I still have a problem. I don't lock the door. I'm just going to say, you told everybody. I got to correct myself now, but I don't lock my car everywhere I go. You know why? Because I just think people aren't that bad, but I got to remind myself they are. But you know, wouldn't you like to be able to go and leave your wallet somewhere and know nobody's going to steal it? Wouldn't you like to be in a society where you know that your daughter could walk from one end of Ballincollig straight into Cork City and never be molested? Wouldn't you like to have a community where nobody was comfortable ever lying? Amen. God wrote laws so that we'd have that kind of community, so we'd have that kind of society, so we'd have that kind of home and life. They make our liberties, and they give us restraints, with restraints. Nobody can exist, without society, without laws. Try to live by laws. Let me hold on this one. Try to live without laws. Try to live just by grace and tolerance. Allow everyone to do what they want in your home. Just allow everybody to do what they want. Would you do that with a dog? Bad dog! Bad dog! Hey, behind the couch! Oh, it's all over there. When you start allowing people to do whatever they want, what have you got? Disaster. Try to live without laws. You know, if you live without laws, you'll live in fear of your life as thieves rob your homes, rape your children, and even as your best friends end up hurting you and ignoring you to live for themselves. Romans chapter 7. God's laws are good. Romans chapter 7. In verse 14. Starting in verse 12. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just and what? Say it with me. Good. Verse 14. For we know that the law is even spiritual. But what's the problem? I'm carnal. I'm in slavery. I'm in bondage, sold under sin. So the problem's not the law. The problem's me. So God's laws are good. As a matter of fact, God's laws are for our good. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 10. I'm trying to keep you in the Old Testament for a purpose, to give you an appreciation for the God of these laws. Before we get into it, I want you to be in awe of the author. What's that dumb woman who wrote Harry's Toilet? Harry's Potter. Harry Potter. What's her name? What's her name? Rowling. Rowing. Rowling. Okay. Rowling. Can't remember her name. Never can remember her name. If she came to Cork, how many people come there and flock to her? Ask yourself. Thousands of people would flock to her. Just get her to sign their book. You know why? Because she's the author. How many people come to church? You know why they don't? Because they don't know who wrote this book. They don't know who is God. I don't even know who wrote. If I met Rawling, bumped into her at Penny, she wouldn't be in Penny. She'd be in Brown Thomas, I'm sure. But if I bumped into her, I wouldn't. Or, excuse me, ma'am. Just keep going on. She'll, do you know who I am? Couldn't care less. I'm trying to give you an appreciation for the author of these laws. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. Says this, now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command this day for thy good. Say, Lord, I need You to bless me. The Lord says, I need You to obey me. Does that work? God, I need Your help. God, I got a test. God, I've got exams. God, I've got debt. I've got a problem. God, I've got a need. I've got somebody needs to get through this operation. God says, I know You got all those needs. I got one need. Obey. He gave You laws. And if you obey them, it's for your good. I can bless you. I can use you. Thank God for grace, by the way. Can I flip that off? Even when you aren't doing well at obeying God, God still has grace. Don't lose the point. But sometimes we think, I don't have to do anything that God asks. God's laws are for our good. Without them, did you know, without God's laws, we would live as enemies of God, and we would live as enemies of each other. Have you ever fought over a parking space? Come on, nod your head, you know it. And you were not very Christian when you were fighting for that parking space. They say this guy that killed those three Muslims there in South Carolina or North Carolina? Where was that? North Carolina. This guy with a hot head, he shot three Muslims because they took his parking space all the time out in front of his apartment. Deadly. By the way, he wasn't religious, he was an atheist. Atheist murderer too, by the way. But without rules, without laws, we become each other's enemies. I have to know my limits, amen? I have to know what God expects of me, not what He just expects of you. That's laws. They're good. They were for our good. God is serious about His laws. Go back to Deuteronomy. Well, you're in Deuteronomy. Go to chapter 11, verse 13. Did you ever think about why God brought them to Mount Sinai? Did you ever think about why when God showed up, He didn't show up as Morgan Freeman? Some of you know what that is referring to. You ever think about why God doesn't show up as this nice, soft, sweet, lovely teddy bear? Because He wants us to take His laws seriously. Do you understand? You know, when my dad was different than most of your dad. Well, no, not your dad's, but than most of you dads. Let me put it that way. My dad was different than most of your dad. My dad, when he would raise his voice, we stopped. In church, and we didn't go to a great church. Our church was, when I was 6 years old, I was asleep, man, like some of you. I was asleep the whole message as the guy barely raised his voice. But man, if I started to squiggle, all my dad had to do was look at me. Boy, I'd sit up. You know why? Because when my dad spoke, I had to obey. He said, I'm not going to waste my time. How many of you women will say, the kids don't obey me? I mean, I tell them all day long, do this, do that. But as soon as my husband comes home, amen. Thank God for a man who can command. If you have a man who doesn't command, bring him to me. I'll help him. Folks, God is serious about His laws. And sometimes, and thank God for men and women, you put them together and you get a right balance. All law and it's all disaster. It's death in the home. Amen. But there's law and there's grace. And thank God for moms having grace and love. And it's terrible when mom's all law and dad's is all wimpy. Amen. Put it in the right perspective there. When God spoke, you know what they did? They were terrified. Amen. Some people think that when a man raises his voice, oh, he's an angry man. No, he's a commanding man. Amen. Just because you raise your voice doesn't mean you're angry. Amen. Now, have respect. Sometimes it has to be, stop! Don't cross the road. Wait right there. You know what your children ought to do? Amen. You know, in America, if you were in America, here go, there's some folks going to America in March there. You know what you need to teach your kids? You're in a shopping mall somewhere. And you see some guy come into the shopping mall, and they do that in America, man. Some guy comes in with a shotgun. You need to be able to say to your kids, get down! And know that they will instantly obey. Amen. Otherwise, they're dead. Amen. You see, when God spoke, people think, oh, God is such an angry, mean God. No, He just means business. Thank God. I don't just go around barking commands, okay? Don't get that idea. But God is serious about His laws. Look at chapter 13. Let me read this down to verse 28. Get this idea, and it shall come to pass. I said, chapter 11, verse 13. Thank you. Deuteronomy 11, 13. It shall come to pass if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I request of you. Is that what he says? Which I command you this day to love the Lord your God first and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and be shut up, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets always seen between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall dread upon, as he hath said unto you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. You will not have there are probably 5,000 books last year written about marriage. Read every one of them. Get everyone you can. But don't forget the one God wrote. Amen. Don't forget reading God's command. See, well, he doesn't love me. God still tells what you're supposed to do. Well, he won't listen. She won't stop talking. She won't even need, I'm here, here. God gave commandments. You want a blessing in your home? Go buy the book. He goes on. A blessing, verse 27, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a, verse 28, curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, end up going after other gods, which ye have not known. Folks, God takes it serious about His laws. His laws are not suggestions. They're not recommendations. Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen writes these books. God's plan is best for your life. You know what he won't say? God's plan is the only way for your life. There's a difference. Oh, I found this works for me. Doesn't matter whether it works for you or not. Is it what God wants you to do? You see, God didn't write suggestions or recommendations or opinions for people to vote on. They are absolute eternal laws. There are blessings and benefits of knowing and loving and obeying God's laws. And there are curses and troubles and regrets for ignoring and rejecting God's laws. People need to fear living without God's laws. How many want to live without grace? Not me. not me. Can't live without hope. Can't live without forgiveness. Can't live without love. Amen. But you cannot anymore live without those things than you can live without the law. You need God's limits. You need God's right and wrongs understood and lived by in your life, as we just read. People need to fear living without God's law. Men, you need to fear looking at pornography. Amen. You need to fear looking at it. Amen. That should not be, well, everybody else is. I mean, it's school. That's all they show on their phones. That's all they talk about. You should be terrified. At work, man, everybody talks about what happens on the weekend. Get another job then. Or move, or better yet, hand out gospel tracts while they're talking. You need to come to church. You really need to come to church. Amen. Men need to fear looking at pornography. Men and women need to fear telling a lie. If you're saved, you need to realize, you know what God says? Your sin will find you out. Your sin one day is going to go, here he is, this is what he did, and you're going to go, ooh. And your lie will catch up with you and ruin you. You ought to fear telling a lie. It ought to scare you that a lie would come out of your mouth. God takes his law seriously and expects us to as well. Every man doing everything that is right in his own eyes, how do they end up? In bondage. Every time you find that in the book of Judges, when people live without God's law and they did everything that was right in their own eyes, bondage, slavery, they were never free. You want to be free? Do things God's way. You ought to fear, most of all, facing the author of these laws. You know, when he appeared on Mount Sinai, we don't have time to look at it. In Exodus chapter 9, he says he spoke from the top of a burning mountain, like a volcano. There were thunders and lightnings. There was a thick cloud. I mean, this is desert. There's no clouds in any part of the sky. And yet around this mountain was this thick, dark cloud. It was a terrifying sight. There was constant earthquakes. And God began to speak. And the trumpet was blowing, and it just got louder and louder and louder. Folks, let me tell you this. Oh, that men today would hold up this book and again preach like the God of Mount Sinai. Because our generation is sick of a wimpy God. Our generation does not know the God of Mount Sinai is still God. Now, if you want to get saved, you can't get saved at Mount Sinai. You got to get saved at Mount Calvary. Amen? At the cross. But you're never going to run to the cross until you've met the God of Mount Sinai. Amen? So next time you're giving the gospel and somebody starts laughing at you, get some courage. Speak like Moses. Amen. You know, by the way, Hebrews 13:4 says, go to Hebrews 13:4. I'll show you something. Hebrews 13:4. You know, I'm glad I'm stupid. Don't say amen. Glad I'm ignorant of some things. I had no idea what this stupid movie is about. So about last week, when all of a sudden somebody was talking about stuff on the radio, and then all over internet and news sites talking about the movie coming up, this 50 Shades of Grey and stuff like this. Folks, let me tell you something. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all. And the bed, married bed, is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Oh, that's Old Testament. No, that's New Testament. Amen. Amen. You know what you're going to have to face one of these days? The God who wrote those laws. And he will not judge you just because he doesn't like you. He'll judge you based on whether you obeyed or you disobeyed his laws. Thank God for his laws. Hey, if you're married, thank God that he demands your husband or your wife to stay true to just you. Thank God. If you're a child, thank God he demands that parents train their children the right way and not just the only way that they can figure out. If you're a servant and an employee, thank God that he demands that employers pay wages and don't take advantage of slaves and slavery. If you're desperately poor, thank God that He commands everyone, not just the rich, not just the religious, but everyone to take care of the poor. Thank God He commands that no one should lie. Thank God that He commands that no one should kill. Thank God that He commands that no one should ever gossip about you. If they've got anything to say, let them say it to your face. Amen. Thank God that everyone should keep their promises. Thank God that God wrote that people should eat healthy foods. Not McDonald's. Snuck that in. And so on and so on and so on. Folks, let me get to the last point. God is serious about His laws. He wants us to be serious about His laws. I wish I could take this all back. Drop us in the middle of the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. Remember, when they came out of Egypt, they had nothing. They had some bags of jewels, but they had no store to buy with. And as they went around, when they were hungry, there was manna on the ground every morning. Wow. When they ran out of water, God split a rock open. Take care of 1.5 million people. When they got hungry for meat, the quail, these small little tender birds would come flying in and just plop in front of them, man, right on the ground. It was unbelievable. They walked through the Red Sea. They watched God protect them from the Egyptian army once again. And here they are at Mount Sinai. Can you imagine the attitude? Imagine the desire. What's coming up next, Lord? What fun thing do we get to do today? And then that mountain turned to fire. And that mountain began to shake. And that trumpet began to blow. And the lightnings began to spread across the sky. And everyone hit the ground. And they began to be in terror. And God says, you want to take me serious? Or do you think life is only going to be just fun and games and miracle after miracle? From here on out, there's going to be a way to live. And it'll make you a great nation. And so began the Ten Commandments. Thank God for His laws. Because God's proved our need for grace. Listen to Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Wow. God shines the light of the law on me. He finds more and more offenses, more and more sins, more and more problems with me. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Did you know God's laws prove that there is a God? There's a designer. Someone who designed life and designed the laws that allow for life. God's laws prove also that there is sin in each and every one of us. I had not known sin. I didn't know it was wrong until I saw it in the Bible. Also that sin has to be punished. God's laws prove that sin must be punished. God's laws prove that there is no law that can take away sin. There is nothing in the Old Testament law that could fix sin. You know what the truth is? Only the God, I should say, who wrote the law, can actually satisfy the requirements of all the laws that condemn us. Listen to me for a minute. That's where grace enters. You know what grace is? Grace makes up for all the times we fail to do what is right to do. That's grace. And how did God do that? God did it by Himself becoming condemned. He allowed Himself to take on sin and to be condemned and then be judged. That's the grace of God. But God's grace is not found in this church, or that church, or this religious organization, or some meditation that you find yourself in, or in baptism or communion, folks. Grace is not found in any place except in Jesus Christ. And of His fullness have all we received. Of His fullness of what? Of grace. The fullness of grace is in Jesus. Now, God gave us the law. But Jesus gave us grace. The law helps me turn to Jesus and appreciate the grace. You know what? That's where you find a life-transforming faith, a saving faith. Listen to Romans 5:8. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the wages of sin is death, isn't that true? But listen to it. But the gift of God, let me help you, the grace of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Today is a good day to stop trying to live without Christ and start following Jesus. Just believing that He can save you from the wrath to come. Save you from the righteous judgment of Almighty God that He's right to do. Folks, God gave us His laws. It's a great gift to mankind. Next time you're reading, hopefully you ought to be reading through your Bible every year. The next time you read through, say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Old Testament just as much as the New. God gave us His law. Secondly, and by the way, Jesus gave us a bunch of new laws. Amen. Jesus didn't come along and said, hey guys, I got rid of the laws. You can do as you want. No, it even got tight. We'll talk about it. Secondly, God actually wrote the laws. They are not man-made. Written with the finger of God. God is a God of laws. I don't believe anything's left up to chance. Do you? It's not by accident that you're here this morning on the 15th of February. Amen. You could be dead and in hell right now. And God's got you alive and given you another chance to get saved this morning. You could be divorced. You could be homeless. You could be anywhere else but for the grace of God. Amen. God's not a God of chances and accidents. And He didn't look around and go, oh, I forgot about Bill. Oh my goodness, Bill, you look at the mess you got yourself in. Nope. He has the law of sowing and reaping in play, amen? But He designed it. He knows how to fix it. Fix us out of it. God is a God of laws. And God is serious about His laws. Can we start to take them seriously? When we start to look at, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let's take it serious. One of the worst sins in this room. Can I say it? I don't know it. I don't want to believe it, but I'm going to say it. May I be proven wrong. But one of the worst sins in this room, in this church, in the Christians' hearts, is idolatry. Now I know that, because the Bible tells us covetousness is idolatry. And we think, well, I don't have a statue in my home. But you've got plenty of them in your heart. Your life is filled with complaining, murmuring, and griping about things not being like you want. You have an idol in there. You're idolizing a life that you don't have. Folks, get serious about when God says, cast down every idol. You need to look in there and say, well, I don't have a statue of Mary, but I got a statue of, and then we learn to get rid of it. Amen? And God's laws prove our need for grace. I'm not telling you, do not get the wrong idea. I know some of you are going out here saying, I guess we've got to live by law. No, you need to have laws. You need to learn the laws. You need to obey the laws, but you need grace. You are going to fail to live by that book. You will fail miserably. But that's okay. That is absolutely 100%, top of the marks, grand. Because grace is great. Amen? So as we learn these laws, and we say, you know, Lord, I'm going to start to line up my life with that book, not with my friends, not with the popular opinion of today, but with that book. You're going to realize, Lord, I want to live it. The things that I want to do, and I know I need to do, I end up not doing. Thank you for grace. And every time you pick me up, I'll get back and I'll try harder, because thou art worthy. Because your laws are right and holy and just and good. I'm sold under sin, but I determine to love you by obeying you. Father, would you bless these thoughts in this study through the Ten Commandments? Before we even open and start looking at all the Ten Commandments, may we sit in awe of the author of them. And may it terrify us. God, I don't know what scares a Western European. I don't know. We're a strange bunch. We love to be scared and watch stupid horror movies. And we like to go to fun fairs and Halloween activities that scare us, but we will not allow ourselves to be terrified of the God of heaven. Not allow ourselves to be shook up and realize we go against you. We're going against God Almighty. I pray that we would take you a little more seriously today, a lot more seriously. We take the Bible a lot more seriously. We take the commandments. As the world continues to tear down your laws, may we live them brighter, stronger, more passionately than ever. Not to prove anything else except that they're right. Lord, if we want our families to survive, if we want our church to survive, help us to honor this book, start to finish, not just the places and the things and the words that we like. Lord, may we appreciate grace all the more. May somebody receive the gift of grace this morning. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, not of the law, not of your own personal righteousness, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is no boasting in heaven. There's no boasting in forgiveness. It's just a gift that is received because we fail. But at least we know we fail. At least we've learned what's right or wrong. Lord, I have repeated myself. Now make it stick in our hearts. May somebody in this room decide, you know what? I'm the fool. I've been trying to live without God's laws. I'm trying to live outside of His rules. And I do not want to one day wake up and regret my stupidity. I'm ready to get saved. I'm ready to follow Jesus Christ. I believe He died and was buried and rose again for a sinner like me because He knows I can't live it. And I know I can't live it. But He wants me anyway. And if you'll pray and ask God to save you right now, according to the Bible, then do it because that's the kind of God He is. He loved you so much that He gave His Son so He could save you. Would you let Him save you this morning? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.